Good morning. If you will, have your Bibles and have your bulletin handy this morning as well. If you'll open up your bulletins to the fill in the blank on page 2, we'll be using that in a few minutes and go through some of that with you. I want to take a minute and invite you this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Our daily Bible readers group will meet. We've just finished in that group the book of Genesis, and we'll be going into the book of Exodus. Our reading schedule, we normally read about 2 chapters a day, and I give us something to look for in those 2 chapters. We're not really just reading through the Bible, but we're actually looking for things as we go along. So I think it's been a good benefit. I've loved leading that group, and I learn something every time we meet. It's a neat thing. But I'd like to invite you to do that at 5 o'clock this afternoon over in the education building. If you missed last week, you missed kind of our introduction to a series of lessons on making choices. And we're looking at some of the choices that we have when it comes to believing and following God and believing and following what His teachings are for us. We have all kinds of choices to make each day, and ultimately every choice that we make either leads us closer to Christ or it takes us further away from Him. And the scripture that we're basing this series on is found in Joshua 24 and 14 and 15. Joshua tells the nation of Israel there, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and faithfulness." And he says, "Put away the gods that your fathers served back in Egypt." And he says, if you find it evil to serve the Lord, then you need to choose who you're going to serve. And there at the end of verse 15, he says, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And last week we looked at some of the different gods in quotation marks in our lives that we choose to follow. Sometimes we follow the god of food, entertainment, sex, the god of family, the god of self. The list can go on and on. Ultimately, anything or anyone that we put above the one true God, that is a God to us. In the end, everything boils down to a choice between serving Satan in one of his many disguises and many forms, or to serve the one true God. And I pray that every step that each one of us took this past week brought us closer and closer to Christ. And the neat thing is, as we get closer to Christ, we become closer to one another. As we begin to look at the choice that we're going to cover today, I want to ask you some questions and read through some verses to kind of get you thinking about the topic and the choice that we have to make. My first question is this: what are the first spoken words in the Bible? Think about that just a minute. The first spoken words. Now, if your mind is going, well, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, those are the first words that we have written in verse 1. Well, the first spoken words are found in verse 3. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Bible has a lot to say about light and darkness, and that's going to be the two things we have to choose between this morning. In James 1, we find that in verse 17 and 18, James writes and talks about every good gift comes from above, every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of what? The Father of lights. He said, "In whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." What a great thing that James points out there. God, the Father of all these great and perfect gifts, is unchanging. He's a fixed point in our lives, and no matter where we go in our lives, God remains in one place, unchanged. Look in your bulletin there. Let's go through these verses and see how you did. Each blank should have the word light or darkness in it. The first one is from our scripture reading. It says, "And this is the judgment. The what has come into the world? The light has come into the world. And people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." It says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light." and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. We're going to look at those verses a lot deeper a little bit later on. The second one comes from John 8. Jesus makes all these statements in John saying, I am. And here he's speaking and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How can we stay away from sin and darkness? We follow the light, right? Jesus Christ. We follow him. Look at the last one. In Ephesians 5 and 8, Paul says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Paul tells that church there in Ephesus, you know what? You're Christians now. You need to walk as Christians do. Your walk has to be different than before. If your Christian walk is the same as your walk before you were baptized, that's a problem. That's what Paul's talking about here. Paul goes on to tell that church later on in that chapter to walk as a wise man. Make the most of every single day. Light is found in lots of places in the Bible. In 2 Samuel 22, David, I'll get it right in a minute. David sings this song to God, and he sings it after he's delivered from his enemies, especially from Saul, who's been chasing him. And David says, for you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. He says, for by you I can go up against a troop. I can leap over a wall. God can do some great things through us when we allow, when we allow him to turn our darkness into light. That's what David is saying there. He describes God as the lamp who turns his darkness into light. David had darkness in his life, and it was God that could change that into something good. And I think we're the same way lots of times. Each of us has darkness in our lives that needs to continually be brought into the light. Each of us needs the continual transforming power of God. We need God to shine on us and help us. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah 59. We're going to read the words of God through Isaiah the prophet. If you'll listen and follow along closely, you'll see Isaiah's responding to a little bit of confusion from the Israelites. They're wondering, how come they've been fasting? And they're wondering, how come their fasting has not brought a blessing from God? Listen how Isaiah explains to them that, you know, sometimes we're blind to our own sin, and our sin separates us from God. We'll start in verse 1 of Isaiah 59. Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Right here at the beginning, Isaiah responding to this false idea that God isn't aware of what's going on, or maybe God is unwilling to help. That's not true either. Instead, he's describing the problem. The problem is sin. You're separated from God because of sin. Look in verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. They rely on empty pleas. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. Look at verse 7. Their feet run to evil. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know, and there is no justice in their paths. They've made their roads crooked, and no one who treads on them knows peace. It's quite an indictment, isn't it? All these descriptions bringing home the fact that separation from God is caused by sin. They no longer have God in their lives anymore because they've built this wall. Look in verse 9. Isaiah starts lamenting over this, the fact of this sin. He says, "Therefore, justice is far from us. Righteousness does not overtake us." He says, "We hope for light and behold darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as if it's the twilight. And among those that are in full vigor, we seem as dead men." When we're living in sin, we're separated from all things good. We're separated from the light. Separation from God causes there to be nothing but darkness around us. And just like Israel, darkness in our lives make us feel lost. And we blindly are looking around for direction, even with the glare of the noonday sun all around us. We all get daily light from the sun. But the question is, do you see the light from God's Son shining in your life every day? Turn over to John chapter 1. The beginning of John, he identifies Christ as the eternal divine word that comes to earth and lives among men. And he also talks about him as the light. Listen to John 1. We'll start in verse 1. And notice the light. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Who is the light? Is it John? No. John was sent from God to tell others about the light, right? The identity of the light is who? It's Jesus. Not everybody accepted that, though, did they? Verse 10 and 11 talks about that. He even went to his own people, and his own people didn't receive him. But you know what? Some did. Look on down. Some believed. Some received him and became children of God. And we have that same opportunity. We can receive him by believing in him, that one who is the light of the world. As human beings, we have that choice to make. We can decide whether to accept the light into our lives and be children of God, or we can choose the darkness. Turn over just a couple of chapters to chapter 3. Our scripture reading this morning was Jesus, the light, speaking about this very thing. Starting in verse 16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Look at verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. God loved the world. He loved me. He loved you. He gave his son to die for us so that we can be saved. We can be reconciled. That means made right. We can be made right with God through Jesus. If we believe in him, we're not condemned. If we don't believe, then we're already condemned. Look at the doctrine, the teaching that's set forth. Look in verse 19. We start to see some of the implications, some of the warnings, some of the encouragement that Jesus provides to the people he's speaking to. We see the very problem is there. What is the problem? Jesus says, people love the darkness. Nicodemus, do you realize that's who he's talking to? Nicodemus, look back up at verse 1. He is speaking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus who comes to Jesus to ask questions about his teaching. And when does he do it? In the cover of darkness. Jesus explains things to him, saying, you need to be born again, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus just doesn't get it. Look in verse 10. It's almost like Jesus, I don't know, he seems frustrated to me a little bit. He says, are you a teacher of Israel and yet you don't understand? Nicodemus, here's what it all boils down to. The light is here in the world. But some people love the darkness and they choose it instead. They do evil things that they don't want to have exposed. Are things different today? That was a long time ago. Surely things have changed. Not so much. Reflect on your own life for a minute. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror of God's Word. Do I have things in my life that I want to keep hidden in some way? Do I have secret sin that I want to keep in the dark? Is there any part of your life where you need God to shine His light? That's the choice that we have. We have the choice between light and darkness. Nicodemus, man, he ends up choosing light. The story starts, man, his life starts in darkness, but it doesn't end there. That very night, in the dark, Nicodemus met the light. When we find him again in John 7 and John 19 especially, he's no longer hiding under the cover of darkness. In John 19, in front of the Jews, in front of his Pharisee friends, in front of the entire world, he's helping Joseph take down the body of Christ. He helps Joseph lovingly wrap Christ's body for burial. Nicodemus was exposed to the light. He was exposed to Christ, and he came out. He came out of darkness. In order for each of us to become children of God, to serve Him every single day, we have to do the same thing. We have to come out of the darkness and be willing to expose our own lives to Him. And I say that knowing we can't hide from God, right? We can't hide any part of ourselves from God. And yet, that's what we try to do so many times. And all it does, it makes us feel further and further away. We just go over here. God, you stay there. I'm going to come over here for a little while. Do something for me this morning. This may be dangerous for some of you. I want you to close your eyes just a second. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to take a journey with me. Just imagine right now being out in the sun on a warm spring day. You close your eyes and you lift your face up to heaven and you can feel that sun shining down on you. You feel that warmth. Now walk with me and go underneath the shade tree for just a second. You can look around probably and still see the light from the sun. You might still feel a little bit of its warmth, but it's not the same as it was, is it? Go inside your house. You probably don't feel any warmth at all now. You probably can still see the sun through the windows. Now go inside the closet that you have there. The darkest closet that you have in your house. Crouch down and hide your face in your hands until you can no longer see any light at all. You can't feel any warmth. You can't see anything. That light that you're hiding from is God's love. Sometimes in our lives we feel, we find ourselves drifting around, getting deeper and deeper into sin, and so far away from God's love that we find ourselves tucked away in a closet somewhere, afraid to open the door. If that's you this morning, you need to come and bask in God's light. It may be painful sometimes. As we go from darkness to light, sometimes it takes some adjusting. Sometimes we're blinded at first by the light, aren't we? It takes us a while to adjust, but as we adjust, we begin to see better and we begin to see clearer. We start to understand that what we are hiding from is the very person, the very one that we need to embrace, God. I was hurt this morning before I came to church. I got on Facebook and I realized one of my friends no longer was a friend of mine on Facebook. He's an atheist. He's a very outspoken atheist. And I started posting some of my sermon topics last week. And this morning I found out he dropped me as my Facebook friend. And you know what? It was painful at first. Sometimes as we come into the light, pain hurts. Each one of us this morning needs to allow God to shine His light into the darkness of our lives. We need to allow God's love and God's mercy to fill our hearts with joy and with peace. Read 1 John sometimes. 1 John chapter 1, he talks more about the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When does the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all sin? When we choose to walk in the light. Sin is continually taken away from us as we do that. And did you catch the neat bonus that's there? We have fellowship with one another. John says to have true fellowship, to be truly united as a church, is for each person to be continually walking in the light of Jesus. I encourage you this morning to choose light. Begin making choices in your life that will bring you closer and closer and closer to Christ and closer to one another. We're going to sing this song of invitation, and I just encourage you, if you need prayers this morning, come have prayer with us. If you find that you've been somehow in your life, you think you've been crouching down in a closet somewhere, it's cold in those closets. Come out into the warmth of Christ. I encourage each of you to come this morning as we stand and sing this invitation song.